You gotta love libs of TikTok. They always got the funny videos. Brandi Crews in for my friend Dory Monson. It has been such a fun time. I always appreciate you having me. And I've been told to let you guys know that the John Curley and Sherry Elliker show is coming up. So if
John
you want to know what it's like to be strung out on 4,000 milligrams of caffeine, have at it.
Oh, really? 4,000 grams of caffeine?
Who's been cheating me of my caffeine? Slow news day.
Yeah.
Tread water.
Yeah. Anything happen?
I'll tell stories of my childhood. Diving in. Okay. Alrighty. You know, by them leaking this thing. What, 6-7 weeks ago, somebody stole it and leaked it, and about the Dobbs decision, it kind of let some of the steam out. Did you sense that, Sherry?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was any shock here. I mean, everybody knew this was coming. I mean, as soon as that happened, I think it was the second wave of it, because remember how people reacted, and now people are reacting again. But I don't think anybody was surprised.
Right, yeah.
I think disappointment and devastation for a lot of people, depending on, you know, and elation, depending on what side you're on.
Sure.
Because it's final.
Yeah, but my point is that, you know, think of it like a pressure cooker. You let some of the steam out, 6-7. It gives people a chance to start to think about it, and then you have people, you know, responding to it. And then when this comes out, it was fait accompli. They pretty much knew. I mean, you weren't going to change the opinion. And it was basically the exact same thing that got leaked earlier. All the protesting, the possible attempt on Kavanaugh's life didn't move anybody one way or the other on this. So Roe v. Wade has been overturned, and now it goes back to the states. The states now make a determination. What should the rules and laws of abortion be? And Ruth Bader Ginsburg would probably agree with what has happened. I saw an interesting interview with her. Let's see. She was, well, even people say before she died. Yeah, of course before she died. This was at University of Chicago. She said, my criticism of Roe is that it seems to have stopped the momentum on the side of change. She would have preferred that abortion rights be secured more gradually in the process that includes state legislators and courts. She added, Ginsburg said that the focus of Roe was on privacy rather than on a woman's right. And it really wasn't even about that. It was really about a doctor. That's what it was originally about, a doctor's freedom to practice. It wasn't centered on women. It was centered on physicians. And then I'd also seen that if you want to, you know, place some blame on somebody, I'd seen that Barack Obama had invited Ruth Bader Ginsburg to the White House for a lunch. I can't remember what year, I mean, 2015, 14, somewhere in there. And it was a casual lunch, and he's just chatting with her. And he didn't want to bring up directly, like, hey, you know, it would be great if you were to retire. Because if you were to retire now, that would be a good time. He apparently very, very lightly sort of hinted at it. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg sensed the direction of the conversation, and she just said, let him know, no, I have intention of health be what it is. I'm going to keep serving for as long as I possibly can. So, you know, if things were different, if he had convinced her, the president had convinced her at the time, maybe it had, it would not, we would not be where we are right now. I didn't get a chance to hear anybody on any of this sort of stuff. So we got a bunch of sound. By the way, Jacob is off today. So, Matt is stepping in to the fray. Let's see. What's the first piece of audio?
Well, the president spoke. Yeah, I mean, the first piece, of course, is reaction. So it's going to be a lot of people reacting.
All right, here's Steve Futterman, CBS News.
You can hear the chanting here in downtown Los Angeles. People have gathered taking part in this protest following the Supreme Court decision. People here say they are shocked by the ruling.
I can't believe we literally turned back the clock and went back in time.
No. Just to help this woman. First of all, you literally didn't turn back the clock and turn back in time. So you didn't literally do that. And secondly, nothing will change in California. Nothing changes in California. Nothing changes in Oregon. Nothing changes in Washington. But this woman feels
it. And some of the people speaking at the rally have been passionate.
We got to keep fighting. We can't give up now.
People here say they will continue to fight until abortion rights are reinstated. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
What does that mean? What do you mean you're going to fight? You have it. You already have it in California. You've got it in Oregon. You have it in Washington, New York, New Jersey, right? You have all this. Are they talking about other states?
Sure. I mean, it's great if you live in one of those states, but keep in mind that there are 13 states now where these trigger laws will make it essentially impossible for a woman to get an abortion or severely restrict it. There are 18 states that are still very pro-choice, of course, Washington being one of them. So when you have these quote-unquote sanctuary states, yeah, that's fine if you live in one or if you can get to one or if, you know, you could take the time off or if you're a kid. I mean, it is devastating to women that are not in one of those states. It has changed dramatically for them.
So let's take a state like Idaho. About 1,500 abortions performed in Idaho. So did 9 justices determine the laws of Idaho? The new one that went into place were basically copied Texas. Did 9 unelected judges determine those rules? Or did a bunch of elected people, primarily Republicans, because it's a Republican state, it's been controlled by the trifecta. So the attorney general, the governor, and the legislator have been dominated by Republicans for like 27 years in Idaho. So who put those people in place? The people that live in Idaho voted those people in place. The minority is Democrat by, I think, like 60% is Republican. So the people there, the people spoke. People, oh, democracy, democracy. Is that not democracy?
It is if you're able to vote, but if you're very young and you haven't had the right to vote, then it isn't. If you're 16 or 17, then no, you didn't get a say in that. And your rights are completely demolished at that point. You don't have the right to do this. I mean, you'd have to find a way. And that's what's so, and you know, we can go back and forth on this and nobody's going to change anybody's mind. But one thing that I did think was really interesting, there was an article in the New Yorker. And it's about not just the inability to get an abortion. It's about this state surveillance and the criminalization of pregnancy, right? And that's the thing that's really scary here, I think. Because there are certain states where if they think that you have terminated a pregnancy and they think that you've done something criminally, whether it's you got an abortion pill over, you know, the internet or something like that, they can search your histories. They can search your search histories. They can get your text messages. I mean, that in terms of personal freedom is really terrifying.
So you're telling me that has not been challenged and that's in place right now, or this is if this happens, then.
No. That's in place in Texas. That's in place in a lot of these places where they're putting bounties on women's heads. And also, it's not just women. It's doctors. It's volunteers. It's people that work. It's a receptionist that works at an abortion clinic. So those far ranging, you know, implications to me are really bad for just everybody. I mean, that it shouldn't be that way. This should be a private thing that happens. It should be, I mean, again, we're not going to change each other's minds on this about what it is and when life begins and all of that because we have different belief systems. But I do think that these privacy implications and the fact that they're really going the extra mile to, you know, prosecute women, is a terrifying thing.
Okay. Well, I think I can get you to agree to this. We'll start with the big, big topic of what is democracy. So we just assume one man or one woman, one vote, and then you get an opportunity to make a choice as to what you want. And then your elected officials then run on various campaign promises and what they believe in and what their platforms and principles are. And then you say, oh, I like this person over this person because this person likes this. And that campaigning goes on to convince enough people to vote for that person, whatever the rules are. you do agree that it's probably better off and you have more control as an American citizen over the elected official than you do over 9 unelected judges.
Well, now, yes, because the court has become somewhat political and because it is divided the way that it is, then yes, I do agree with that.
Okay. And you'd like to see the system in place that allows the judges simply to not to create law. 9 men back in 1973 determining what viability was. You would give me that you think it's probably better that it's closer to you and closer to your vote and closer to democracy to have the court just simply rule, have legislators write laws, and have you as the voter determine which legislators you like based upon what their principles are, based upon what they like, and then you'll support the laws or maybe not support them on some or on others. But you're closer to the decision-making than you would be if it was 3,400 miles away, or in your case, 17 miles away from the unelected. So to me, I think this is not, I don't care a celebration or whatever, where you go around screaming about abortion. I like the fact that they have thrown it back to the states. To me, this is the way it was supposed to be. And then you can determine, and then you can make the rules, and you can do whatever you want. New York can have theirs, and California can have theirs, and Mississippi can have theirs. I mean, and somebody can't get an abortion in Texas, will they go somewhere else if they want to get an abortion? Will it be hard for some people? Yes, but you said this the other day, Sherry. You thought that the private sector in the market will come in, and there'll be various drugs that can be you can buy over the counter, this or that, and something else will come into place on this.
I hope so. I agree with you in that, yes, it does seem to give states, you know, gives the people more power and more control with their ability to vote for whomever they, you know, whatever they believe in. So yes, it is closer to home,
yeah.
But it does have, you know, some pretty for, right now. So yes, in the future, yes. But for the kid that's, you know, or somebody that's living, you know, in Idaho or Mississippi right now that finds himself in this predicament, it doesn't help them now. And, you know, Biden did say today that this fall, Roe is on the ballot. And I wonder if by then it will really matter. I mean, I think it will matter always. But as far as people's lives go, this is front and center today, and it will be for the next month or
yeah.
so. But by the time we roll around in November, I mean, people are already saying it's going to be about the economy. It's going to be about the fact that people, it's inflation. So will it really in practice present itself that way where people will have an opportunity? And is that really what politicians are going to run on? Are they going to run on that platform in November?
They can't now. They can't because now it's back in the state. Maybe candidates running in states, it'll be more. They'll have more power because now it's you can do what you want in the state. You can set it up. You can be as restrictive as you want in place like Idaho or Mississippi or Missouri. Or you can be less restrictive. You can do what you want. Here's Maxine Waters.
Women are going to control their bodies no matter how they try and stop us. The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them. Women will be in control of their bodies.
Okay, I don't know what defy the Supreme Court means. You can't defy them. They've ruled. It's now back in the state. So a bunch of people calling for various things. This is the woman from National Organization. This is from Now. Is this the woman that you thought wasn't really well prepared? Christine
Noon? This is I listened to her when this first happened, and I was surprised that they didn't have a statement ready. We're just going to hear a little snippet of it. But she in the full statement, she repeated herself quite a bit.
I definitely think that we feel that as everyone else is feeling, this is definitely devastating news, but it's not surprising news after seeing the initial draft come out, but still very devastating that the Supreme Court would move forward and overturn Roe.
Okay. And it just gets down to this. Here's the, I think the brass tacks of the whole thing. If you believe that that is a human life and you believe that the state has a right and an obligation to protect all life, then this is where the point where people part company. Yes, that is a human life. Yes, the state has an obligation to protect that life, but you are forcing the woman to carry that life in her body, removing her choice as to whether or not she wants to carry that life. Give her the choice to determine that the state can't intervene between the uterine wall and the woman. So, therefore, it's up to the woman. Okay, that's if you believe it's up to the woman, that's a human life, and that's up to the woman. And it's a devastating choice for a lot of women to be able to make that hard choice. Got it, fine. But I removed myself from that argument, that discussion, because you're not going to convince anybody that. But I will rejoice in democracy, which is what we have today on this case. Kick it back to the states. Let them determine it. I think that is hopefully the best news to come to this. And everybody that talks about, oh, democracy's in jeopardy and democracy's threatened and this and that. Oh, we can't. No, this is it. You have it now. So now the state of Washington, I think Dal Constantine, that wants to be the governor, is going to take $1 million of your money, my money, and he's going to put it aside. And anybody from Idaho that wants to come over, you in the state of Washington will pay for their abortion, since Idaho looks like it's going to be extremely restrictive.
I know how much you love celebrities, so just the reaction.
Oh, which
just a couple
one?
Of them.
Oh, gosh.
Just a couple
oh,
of
yes.
them. Ready? Okay. Okay.
Good,
Bette Midler said, "Get ready, gays. You're next." Pearl Jam said, "No one, not the government, not politicians, not the Supreme Court, should prevent access to abortion, birth control, and contraception." Danny DeVito simply said, "Supreme Court, my blank."
Danny DeVito.
Oh, come on.
Come on, Danny. Oh, the gays are next. Is that what she's saying?
Yes, yes. She said, get ready, gays. You're next.
That's right. That's right. Throw that back to the states. How do you think that would do? If you put it up to the states for gay marriage, do you think it would win or lose?
Oh, I mean, I don't think there's any chance that would get overturned. But Clarence Thomas, of course, did make a reference to it today. And he said that all of those things should be reviewed.
Right, because what he's saying is there's no, in the 14th Amendment, you're not entitled to decency or whatever the thing was that he had a problem with. I'm just saying, if you kicked it back to the states, what do you think, the interracial marriage, kick it back to the states, up or down?
You mean in terms of being overturned or being upheld?
Would people be okay with it?
Yes, right. Of course.
In the states, if you kick it back to the states, think they'd be okay with gay marriage?
I think there would be some states where it would be in jeopardy. I think some of the same states. I think some of the same states that we're looking at right now would yes, I would fear that.
All right. It's democracy. Here we go. John Curley, Sherry Ehrlicher Show, and you are right there along with us for the ride. Appreciate that. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. I've seen that the teeny tiny lady texts me. She texts you on that group text. Sherry is so funny. She's sending pictures and stuff. Did you get the group? You were on the group text from Teeny Tiny?
Funny, no, I've been left off of that. Gee, what
Weird.
A surprise.
Teeny. She's not going to be in today, so letter, it's all up to Matt to choose letter of the day. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. You text as well. You know the phone number. I'm not going to say it because I get made fun of when the way I say the number after three. Many Americans regret not preserving conversations with their loved ones before they died. 6,000 Americans were surveyed, and they said, they did record. 6,000 did record, but others, when they were asked, they said, I probably should have recorded somebody telling some stories from the past and regret it. Have you done this? I mean, your mom and dad are both elderly.
Yeah.
They're both in homes. Have you gone in there with a tape recorder and gotten them to tell stories?
No, I they're not that type. I mean, my dad much more so than my mom. But I hadn't really, I mean, I guess it's crossed my mind, but it's not anything. I don't know. I just think it would be sad to listen back to it and then miss them and feel terrible about it. This is something I would think you would want to do, right? You would want to document some of your stories or something. So your kids or somebody
have it. It's called a podcast. I have hours and hours with you, my grandchildren. Who's the woman with the voice that keeps laughing at everything? You and I are lucky. We've got all that sort of stuff. Not that the kids would ever listen to it. I tried to do it with my dad. I had a little cassette recorder there. This is a number of years ago. And I, press play and record. And he goes, all right, go ahead. I'm like, so tell me about, and I asked him some question. Okay. The question is weak. I'm like, oh God. So that's how it starts out.
That's great. That's,
and it went on and
better
on.
Than I'm looking you up, could ask him.
And I'm looking over at the taping. I'm looking at the thing. I've run out. You know, it was the old cassette thing and it's done. You have to stop it and flip it over. And at that point, I'm like, oh my God, he's burned up 60 minutes on the one side. I was just like, how am I going to ever edit this? He kept going on. And I thought, eh.
And what do you do with it then?
Good
it's
enough.
Like, you know, where do you like listen to it on his birthday? I mean, well, I can understand why, you know, people would want to preserve that or memories. Like I've asked my dad certain things nicely because I don't want to say, hey, when you die, I want to make sure I know all of your, you know, accomplishments and everything. So we've gone over some of that information and he's told me a few stories that I tucked away in my brain about his childhood. But, I don't know what the use of it would be. Like I think it would be kind of, I don't know, too painful to hear to hear their voices after they've gone. Do you wish you saved that?
I saved one thing. It's my dad calling up. So this is the 8th of September 2016. I played it one other time. This I'm going to play it off my phone. It won't be the best quality. But this is him calling to tell me that he just got the results back from the lab. So hold on a second here.
Oh.
Here we go. Hang on, Dad. Hang on. Okay, hold on. Let me back him up here. Yeah, so this is him telling me that he got the results back. And it's classic, no emotion. So he's telling me that he is dying. Hang on. Oh, come on. Come on. How come I can't hear him? Okay, oh, here he goes. Here he, okay, hang on. Shush, okay.
Michael, just got the results from the lab. And it's cancer.
It's cancer.
And it's the fast type. So I told him in the maybe 3 months to live. But I don't want any heavy lifting. And I told him that. No chemo, none of this crap. You know, pretend they can keep you here for another 5 years. No, sir. No, I just told him, no heavy lifting. That's it. Good that your plans are. I guess they're still the same. Come out on Sunday and we'll say goodbye. Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
That's it.
Oh,
how about that?
Boy. Oh, he was brave. Man, didn't even win.
No, he's Irish. He's Irish. He's had it. He had a great life. So your plans are to come in on Sunday? Come on in and we'll say goodbye.
I mean, that is... talk about being, you know, stoic and practical and...
Practical.
Man... I mean,
he said he was on. So, you know, I saved that. It's so funny. If he knew I had saved it, he'd be like, what are you saving that for? Who cares? You know, it's like I didn't play my brother. He's like, I know. The guy was just like, hey, listen, I told him no heavy lifting. When I walked into the hospital to get him out of there, you know, because they want you out of there after all the tests and stuff. He's as skinny as a rail. They put him in the wheelchair. As I walk into the hospital bed, I walk in the hospital room. He goes, hey, I'm dying. I said, well, aren't we all dying? I'm going sooner than you. And he goes, I was just telling the nurse over here, I'm giving myself 3 weeks. I said 3 weeks. And I said, $5, I'll bet. She goes, well, you won't be around to collect. And I laughed at, you know, he's flirting with all these nurses, but he was like, he had a great life. He knew that was the end. And hey, I'm not going to stick around for anything else, but that's the practicalness of him. You know, weeks, 4 days away from dying. So you can imagine him trying to answer heady emotional questions that I was trying to get out of him, like about life and this and that. And he was just, hey, that's a dumb question. I was just like, okay, thank you, Dad. Thank you. Because I'm trying to pull deep emotional things out of him, you know?
Yeah,
I told the story one other time. I don't know if I could do it again. I'll do it again real quick.
Okay.
Took him to the Met. 4 vodkas in, I asked him if he had any regrets. And those of you that heard the story before, bear with me. I know Andrew's like, oh, God, in hell this ends. So I go, Dad, do you have any regrets? I mean, life, you're 81 years old. And I thought, you know, the alcohol would have loosened up his heart a little bit. And he's like, I don't do regrets. I said, I know you don't. But, Dad, anything you look back on, think you'd wish you had done differently. And you know what he says to me? I told you this. I had an opportunity to have a menage a trois.
With the neighbors.
Menage a trois. Now, I don't know if it was the vodka or his bad French, but yeah.
Right, and it was someone that you knew, right?
The lady across the street with the driveway we used to ride our bikes up and down.
Right. Would you have approved a thumbs up or thumbs down on it?
She had a great driveway, and if it meant we could go up and down her driveway more often without her screaming at us, I would have been fine with that. Yeah.
You should have bargained that.
Odd. I said, whoa, when was that? He said, it was 1976. It was during the bicentennial. People were doing crazy things.
That was the year, man. That was the year. The Menage a Trois.
Listen, it's not every year the country celebrates its 200th birthday. Let's get it on.
But your mom had to be involved in this, too. Did you ever question her about it? Because she was a participant, or would have been.
No. Because I didn't know how much she was into the bicentennial. That's the thing.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. You never know. Different strokes, different folks.
Wait a minute. If your dad had told you that, would you run to your mom? Hey, Dad told me you were going to do a menage a trois with Mrs. Kartner across the street.
No.
Would you have brought that up?
No! No, but I just figured if you had that kind of open relationship with your dad, maybe you had it with your mom.
Not like that.
I just thought the Irish, you know, being out there with it and everything, I thought maybe you'd run to her and
say,
hey, Mom,
what's wrong, Sherry? Oh, it's just nothing. What's wrong? Something seems to be on your mind. I don't know. Do you remember the bicentennial, Mom? Oh, of course I do. Who wouldn't forget the bicentennial? It was a crazy time.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Mickey,
yeah.
Your dad admits that possibly a menage a trois. Would you have gone to your mom and said, Dad told me during the bicentennial?
No way. And you know what?
There you go.
Mom's
the word. Decided that I'm lonely.
That's right.
Okay, he's taking that one to the grave.
That's right. Here we go. John Curley, Sherry Elliker show. Yeah, on a Friday. Finally, some great weather there in Seattle. Always lovely here in the Clum. And as you head into the summertime, you know the nice thing about a house. You don't, as the weather changes, you don't need a roof.
This is a nightmare. This is absolutely the worst thing I could have imagined.
It's a sight no one wants to come home to.
June 1st, my daughter came home from school to find that people were removing the roof of our house.
A house now covered in tarp with no...
Why aren't I sponsor for roof removers? Hi, everybody. I'm John Curley for Roof Removers. You need a roof removed. Huh? Andrew, how many people do you think would be calling up to have just a roof removed from their house?
Just the roof by itself?
Just the roof.
I guess if you want to put a new roof on, you could have a company that
takes
it off.
Nah, just remove the roof. Roof be gone. Hi, everybody. I'm John Curley for Roof Be Gone.
That's a pretty extreme form of camping, I think, if you do
that.
But
you have to pronounce it roof.
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 Yeah.
Get the roof out of here. Hang on.
No explanation except for this letter left by the contractor. It says there had been some miscommunication and they were sent to the wrong address.
It was a mistake, a very costly mistake. It should have been fixed. It just should have been fixed, but no one will do it.
DR Roofing told the family their insurance would handle it. Those claims so far, denied. This is the latest letter saying the policy issued to DR Roofing contains an exclusion for property damage arising out of an open roof condition. Here you can see water seeping in during a recent rainstorm and creating...
Wait a minute. She has no roof. How's it seeping in? Did you watch the video of this thing?
I did.
Anybody
yes.
see it? Yeah.
I did. Yeah. It's the roof cover is... pretty tight, but there's like drippage. So there's
little drippage. Got it.
Even more issues for the family.
It's very, very stressful, mainly affecting the kids' room. The kids don't want to sleep up there because the moldy smell and mildewy smell is just overwhelming for them.
Toughen up, kids. Be glad you got this mold and stuff to smell. There's a lot of kids that don't even have mold and mildew to smell, huh?
And the price to fix this mess is also overwhelming. Bids from other companies to redo their metal roof are coming in over $70,000. Today, Jessica Hotvet is worried about her kids' health and how long they'll go living without a roof they never wanted removed.
We want to be able to, you know, protect ourselves from the weather here, and hopefully we don't go in.
That's not asking too much.
This woman is so calm. Can you imagine somebody comes and takes the roof off your house and you're living with a tarp over your heads and she's like, well, you know, I know my mistakes can happen. What? Mm. Call, get a roof lawyer immediately.
Roof lawyer?
Yeah.
Hi, roofs. I'm RJ Bankin. If you lost your roof, you're planning on losing your roof, is any time if somebody come by and taking your roof off the top of your house without your permission, you may have a case. I mean, one of those things?
Well, something like that, sure. I mean, think of the damages.
Without it.
And I did reach out to the contractor who removed this roof. He told me over the phone he's working on it, but did not want to comment on this.
There.
Well, isn't that convenient? I found the other story. I sent
it over to Andrew. A demolition crew went over to a house and demolished the entire house. Oops.
They had the wrong address, and the company said it was their first mistake in 50,000 demolitions.
Well, it only takes
one. Hi, I'm RJ Bankin. Has your house been demolished by police?
Demo lawyer.
Demo lawyer. They're trying to put a positive spin on. Okay, guys, quick. You need a positive spin. How many houses were you demolished successfully? 50,000? Okay, this is the first one. So that's pretty good. If you think about a batting average. Yeah. Quick, do the math on that. That's one out of 50,000. That's all right, right?
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. That makes everybody feel better.
It's 0.002% of their demolitions has been a mistake. That's what they do with part of the resolution. It's okay. It was only 0.002%.
Yeah. All right then. All right. Nothing to see here. Can you imagine that you come home? It was a 1926 little bungalow there. It was in Texas. Was it Texas or sounds like something happened?
Yeah, Dallas. Dallas.
Dallas. Yeah. Come home and the whole place is gone. Oh my God. No. And they left a note. They left a note. Sorry.
Here's my license plate number. Call my insurance company.
God. Oh, my Lord. Oh. There you go, huh? All right. Let's see. Paul, the listener, writes. That's something else. Paul, stop writing me while I'm doing the show.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah.